This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hey, thanks to Robbie Robinson, who went number one in the MLS draft yesterday.
Yep.
From Clemson. Of course, you just had Tom Luginbill chilling out with us. But the Power Hour, we were bringing the heat, Wes Durham.
No question about it. We're going to start with the outstanding rookie of the Duke Blue Devils, Cassius Stanley, joins us from Durham. Duke and Wake Forest, of course, the 8 o'clock ball game here on Saturday night on ACC Network. Cassius, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks a lot for doing this. And how's the rookie year gone so far for you?
Thank you for having me. The rookie year is going pretty well. It's very exciting, very fun to be playing for Duke University.
All right, I'm going to get right to it. I'm watching a game against Georgia Tech. I've never seen a player in the Atlantic Coast Conference dunk a ball with his knees. Dude, what kind of hops do you have, man? And that was ridiculous what you were doing the other night. Oh, goodness wow. Gracious.
Come on, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, you're doing that. Come on, man. This is crazy. And then yesterday on Duke's Instagram, they put up a comparison video of you and Grant Hill. And Grant Hill's one of the all-time greats. I mean, his number's hanging in the rafters, and you're wearing him out on that comparison.
I don't know about wearing him out. It was very cool, though.
So what is the vertical? You know what it is. What's the vertical?
The vertical's 46 inches, or 46 and a half inches.
Wait, am I right? In the fall, you set the Duke record? The team record for vertical? I mean, you eclipsed Zion's vertical from a year ago, right?
I did eclipse Zion's vertical, very surprisingly.
All right. So I'm curious, because when I was growing up as a kid, there was a guy that played in this league by the name of David Thompson, Skywalker, right?
Yep.
And he had the 44-inch vertical. And you always heard this stuff, and then you watched him play, and you went, yikes. That's kind of how I feel when I'm watching you play, man. At what point in time – growing up, did you know, hey, you know what? I got some hops here. I mean, because you got to work on this. I know it's God-given to a point, but you also got to work on it. How did you pull that off?
I think the moment I knew I had hops was probably fifth grade. It was after the first day of school, actually. And I touched the rim. And then after the first day of sixth grade, I was in the gym messing around, and I just dunked it. And so then after that, I kind of realized, like, okay, I got a little hops here.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Wait, sixth grade, you're dunking it on people. Sixth grade.
Sixth grade, I was dunking, yes.
Wow.
How tall were you in the sixth grade?
I had to be about 5'11", maybe 6 feet.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Is that crazy? Can you imagine being in the sixth grade and some guy comes in here and starts slamming on you like that?
Yeah. I mean, sixth grade. There was, 100,000 years ago, I went to a camp where a seventh grader dunked it on me. And I was a year older than he was. I'm thinking, what am I doing?
Hey, what am I doing?
I need to get into broadcasting. I want to move because the flying is almost like something that was talked about when you showed up on campus. What do you think has been the biggest area of improvement in your game since arriving at Duke, Cassius?
I'd probably say just being more consistent all around, offensively, defensively, and playing harder. In high school, you think you play hard, and then, when coach tells you you don't play hard. You find another level, and I think that's what I did.
You know, the other thing, too, is it's not like you didn't play, below average high school ball. I mean, you played Sierra Canyon, right, in Southern California. I mean, you played for a really, really good high school program, a nationally known high school program. So you came from a program that had, all the qualities earmarked for successful Division I talent. And you're telling me you had to be more consistent. That must be quite a stark contrast then from one year to the next, right?
Definitely. But I knew coming into the college game just knowing that things weren't going to be easy, and I was going to have to make a big change in my game. And that was the first thing immediately.
Cassius, the other day we were talking about practices, and Coach K's practices are legendary. Now, you come rolling in high school, life is good, 46-inch vertical. You just mentioned Coach telling you, hey, you're not playing hard enough. The first couple of practices had to be interesting for you. Was that an eye-opener?
huge eye-opener. I mean, you know, you could go into practice in high school after a full day of school and just coast and get by it, but here it's you got to mentally prepare right when you wake up, honestly. Like, you got to wake up knowing, all right, I got practice today. I got to really lock in, make sure coach doesn't yell at me, and, you know, just try to get better.
You know, it's interesting, too, because the idea of being a new player at Duke and a rookie player with a lot of expectation is that you've got assistant coaches on Coach K's staff. And I think one of the values that he's created in their program is guys like Nate James and Chris Carrawell and John Shire and Nolan Smith, who's even part of it. And I know William Avery's now back with the program in a role as well. Having those former players there, how big a benefit is that to a rookie who's coming in, trying to sort out the ACC, sort out academics, just sort out making the transition to college?
It's amazing. I mean, there's no better person to give you advice than someone who's been in your shoes, and especially for the coaches who've been in our shoes and then coached people before us. It's the best because they can give you advice that no other student here could give you because they haven't done what the coaches have done.
Well, what's the best piece of advice that you've already received?
I'd probably say, you know, get your sleep. Definitely get your sleep because college can be very long and very crazy, but definitely get your sleep. And that's one of the biggest things here that I learned is taking care of your body and, you know, just taking care of your well-being.
You know, you guys have played a very tough non-conference schedule. I know you've been to East Lansing. You started out the year in New York. Now you've gotten into the ACC for a few swings. Wake Forest tomorrow night, 8 o'clock ball game. It's obviously a conference game, which makes it really important. What's that move been like from a tough non-conference schedule into the ACC for you?
The move has been pretty seamless. I think that's what Coach wanted it to be, having such a tough non-conference schedule. You know, the tough non-conference games on the road were definitely what we needed, like Michigan State, because, you know, all the crowds are going to be rowdy like Michigan State. Mm. All the crowds are going to want to heckle us, and all the teams are going to want to beat us.
Cool. So,
you know, I want to go back to Coach K a second, because you mentioned about being, you know, the practices being eye-opening and everything else. And I've had a chance to see a couple of them. The intensity of a K practice is really unbelievable. I mean, you can close your eyes and turn and look the other way and hear what's going on in terms of, you know, work's getting done. Making that transition, coming from California, you're there on Tobacco Road, you're playing at Cameron, you've already mentioned some of the great venues, you've been to Madison Square Garden, you've been to Michigan State. When you got D-U-K-E on the jersey, what is told to you ahead of time about, hey, here's what the expectations are, not only for what you do at Duke, but also when you take it on the road? Because it is a big deal having that jersey on.
You know, they definitely told myself and the freshmen coming in, you know, everybody wants to beat you because you have Duke on the front of your chest. And, you know, I think some of us took it and we listened to it, but we didn't really fully understand it until we got on the road, got to Madison Square Garden, got to places where, you know, you got tens of thousands of people booing you, got people yelling at you, screaming at you. And that's when you really realize that all you have is the coaches, the managers, and your fellow players.
Well, here's the other thing, too. You came to Duke. Obviously, we mentioned Sierra Canyon. That's where Marvin Bagley played. You guys still keep in touch? I mean, there's not, a couple of years apart from you guys? I mean, did you know one another? Was he an asset to you in making this move to Duke, and do you still stay in touch?
Oh, yeah, Marvin's a friend of mine. We were there probably for a week, and then he decided, you know, he wants to go to Duke and be a great freshman. And so, you know, he was definitely an asset, but he doesn't know it because me watching him, you know, succeed on the highest level here is definitely in the back of my mind making my decision. Mm. And then, you know, I got to catch up with him at Madison Square Garden after the Cal game because he and Harry Giles came to support. And so, you know, just chopping it up with him, talking to him, telling him, you know, keep doing work. And he's telling me, you know, keep doing what you got to do. And it's all love, really.
It's one thing making a transition from a athletic standpoint from high school to playing in the ACC. Academically, I know it also has to be interesting given the fact that, hey, when you go to Duke, it's a big-time institution from an academic standpoint. With that said, Cassius, the most difficult course that you've had so far is what?
You know, it's going to sound like it's not difficult, but I had a Harry Potter class. And I had to read all the Harry Potter books and analyze them and write very, very long-winded essays on Harry Potter books.
So Harry Potter, I would never have guessed that. I'm going to be
well, I give him credit, though. He said it was, it's going to sound like it's, you know.
If you would have given me a multiple choice on that, I would never have picked Harry Potter out of that one. No, period. Not happening.
But each of those books is about 600 pages,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. I think after the first three, it was like 1,200 words. 1,200 pages.
Yeah. Hey, we wish you a lot of luck. Thanks for the time today. It's been fun watching you play. Pac's telling everybody you dunked it with your knees the other night in Atlanta.
I dunked it with his knees
so,
in Atlanta.
You know, there we go. We'll go from there, right?
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Thank you
all
for
right.
having me.
Cassius Stanley, the freshman from Los Angeles, and great rookie component to what Duke has done in a tremendous conference start. We appreciate his time and looking forward to watching him dunk it with his knees again, aren't you?
I tell you what.
46 and a half.
Is that crazy?
That is crazy.
I mean, that just doesn't even sound right. but when you watch him play 6'5", 6'6", and he when he goes off, he explodes,
yeah.
man. I mean, it's just like he takes off, and you're like, whoa, where's he going?
Yep.
Yeah. What a player.
No, and off to a remarkable start because you got Vernon Carey playing well for him. There we go.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Now, I'm telling you, on Duke's Instagram yesterday, at Duke MBB, their men's basketball Instagram, they ran a comparison of this and a Grant Hill lob. And I'm telling you, it wipes off Grant Hill.
Well, Trey Jones says on this play, he just threw it up. I'm going to throw it up as high as I can. I know my man's going to go up there and get it. And he did.
That's nuts.
Oh, it's goofy, man. The guy's just
some kind of talent.
Reel.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Next time you see us, we will be in New Orleans Monday and Tuesday. And I look forward to getting down to the Big Easy. Always a great time. And it'll be wide open, man. LSU Clemson Monday night. Cannot wait for that game.
Kidding me? By the way, Media Day coverage tomorrow on ACC Network. Folks from the huddle already starting to roll in.
And on SiriusXM.
And then you'll get also updated stuff on Sunday, along with basketball and All Access Miami. And then Monday, 7 a.m., we'll be at Jack's Brewery on the banks of the Mississippi River.
This is going to be a very busy trip, I'm going to tell you. A
lot of work.
I can't speak for you, but me, this is going to be a crazy 4 or 5 days coming up.
I'll be pressing the flesh, as Papio Daniel says.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Apparently, the Lumberjacks have decided we're going to do a championship edition of Over Under.
And they have a ton of stuff for us to pick from here.
Including some props.
Prop bets.
Yeah. Which are always fun.
Yep. Leave it to the Lumberjacks to find this stuff.
All right, boys, let's cue it up. Oh, Josh Macri on the left, Drew Brooks on the right. Yes, sir.
Technically, Wes, these are all props. Over-unders count as props.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Just clearing some stuff up for you.
Okay. Get dirt in the details, Mike, right?
Apparently.
All right.
What's the first one?
First one. Who's going to score first?
Oh, we got graphics.
We got graphics for over under.
Oh, man.
You know what? I think LSU is going to score first.
I said who won the toss. Who wins the toss?
I think LSU is going to score first.
I want to take Clemson. I'm taking Clemson. Tigers setting the tone Monday night. It's my plan. I'm sticking to it. Just saying.
I have no problem with that.
I know. All right. That one's easy.
The folks setting the line, by the way, think that it's LSU. That's what those numbers on the bottom mean.
Obviously, yeah. The -150 and the +110.
Correct. Well, some people aren't as educated as you.
All right. I got you. Okay.
Next one. Who's going to score last?
We have graphic for we have graphics for all these. We got graphics for this too.
I think Clemson scores last.
Yeah, I'm going to go first and last. Why not?
Well, this is just going to go for the blowout.
I'm not going for the blowout.
I
but
think
I'm,
this game's going to be tight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, of course, just because it's a blowout doesn't mean that the team blowing out the other team is the one who scores last.
No, there
is
such true.
A thing as a
or
garbage
first,
time
yeah,
touchdown. Yeah.
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. I'm getting the feeling we've gotten the preliminaries over with on this.
Yeah, these seem rather subdued yeah. for Lumberjack
And I'm
style.
A little disappointed, to be honest with you, through two questions, but go ahead.
I think it's going to pick up, to be honest with you.
There we go.
I agree. How about this one? Longest touchdown. Over under 54.5 yards.
Over.
Boy, you were quick with that.
Over. I think there's going to be big plays in this game. I think red zone's going to be the key in the ball game, but I do think somebody will break a big play.
Wow.
I do. There's too many offensive great, and there's too much, two great quarterbacks, great frisbee catching dogs, and you just got to figure somebody misses a tackle. Somebody will miss a tackle.
I have a question. What if there's a pick six of about 60 yards?
That counts.
Does that count?
I think that would count, yeah.
It's a touchdown longer than 54 yards.
As would a return would also count.
All right. I'm going under.
Really?
Yeah.
All the explosiveness on the field.
Yeah, I know.
At all times.
I do believe that some of that counteracts.
Okay.
I think at some point there's not going to be – there'll be big plays, but I think the big plays will not be in terms of yardage. I think they're like red zone turnovers, red zone misses, whatever you want to call them.
It will not surprise me if both teams have one.
Yeah, no. Well,
because I think they both have the capabilities of pulling it off.
Well, then you'd win twice.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gambling, but nevertheless, it's tough enough.
Right. We just
doing it this segment.
We just provide this for entertainment purposes.
Right, just purely entertainment purposes. Right. All right.
Next, please.
You guys mentioned the possibility of a blowout earlier. This next one lends itself to that. Will there be three consecutive scores by either side?
Ooh. Wow.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Field goals, of course, count.
It could be three straight field goals.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go yes, too, on that. I forgot. I was thinking touchdowns. I'll go yes.
Don't you think with this crowd that's going to be pro-LSU that this will be a huge momentum swing kind of game? Doesn't it not feel that way?
Uh-huh.
Because if LSU gets on the roll, that place would be going nuts. And if Clemson gets on the roll, you'll hear a pin drop.
A lead would not feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just kind of feels like a huge momentum kind of game with everything at stake and so much great skill on the field.
I agree with that.
I just think it's... This game's got the potential of being unbelievable on Monday night.
Yeah, really I agree with that.
Not to mention the fact that there could be the old hairpin turn. You know, end of the half, then start of the next half. There's two right there, you know?
Oh, that is spoken like a man with experience right there. I would never have thought about that.
The double up?
That's right. That's exactly right. And look at
hairpin turns.
Look at Dr. Brooks over there to the far right.
That's a technical term, yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Brooks got scribbling down all kinds of notes.
Writing prescriptions for himself. All right. What's next?
How about this one? Obviously, two prolific offenses, but will there be a scoreless quarter?
Now, this is both teams combined, right? I'm guessing.
No. I just don't think so.
I will go yes.
You think first quarter, filling out, process, nobody's ready to jump in the deep end of the pool yet?
Couple shots, come up empty, that kind of thing. Sacks, turnovers,
I think if it's going to be a scoreless quarter, it's going to be extremely early, right? You just got to figure that... By every time everybody gets into the routine and the momentum and the rhythm of the game, there could be a ton of points.
Yeah. I'll have something to offer on Monday's show to
You're going to save it?
Yeah, I'm going to save it because it's something that everybody needs to think about. This is a long game Monday night.
Oh, it is.
It is a long game.
I hope it finishes before we get back to the brewery on Tuesday morning.
That would be a good thing. All right.
All right, guys, a couple more game-specific ones, then we'll get to kind of the more fun broadcast-type stuff next block.
Oh, wait, there's more? There's a second
part. There are a lot more. This is. We could do this all day. We could do this until Monday.
No, we really could not. No, we really could not.
I know we got a busy Monday show, which we're also going to recap in our last segment today.
My airline is awaiting, by the way. American Airlines, my airline.
All right, guys, here we go. Trevor Lawrence running the ball. Over under 52.5 rushing yards for Trev.
Over.
Yeah, I'll go over on that. Yep. That could happen in one swing, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody misses the tackle.
Well, we saw that at the Fiesta Bowl.
Big fella could gallop.
16's got a little bit more giddy up than you think.
Yep.
So you try to go catch him, then you're like, doggone, man, I'm not making up any ground here.
Yep. All I can see is hair flying out of the back of the helmet.
Yeah, I'm going to go over on rushing yards for TL.
You're going to double up on it? Go 100?
Nope. I'm not going to go 100.
Told you you done gamble. All right.
All right.
One more before we go to break?
Oh, yeah. Travis Etienne rushing yards. Over under 94.5.
Over. I think this dude's getting ready to go off.
Yeah,
he's already been talking a bunch about the Alabama game 2 years ago where he basically got knocked out on the opening kickoff, this coming home party. And, you know, for the most part, Ohio State did a great job keeping him bottled up until he also decided to catch passes, and then all of a sudden they couldn't tackle him. I think 9 is going to go off on Monday night.
I think this is the forgotten player, not by people who follow the ACC or follow Clemson, okay? This is a forgotten player nationally. And, I mean, seriously now, there is a stat about him where he might be, you could argue, this is the most prolific down-in, down-out back in ACC history.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a way to look at stats where he trumps everybody else that's played the position in the history of this league. And he's not a Doak Walker finalist?
No.
To me, he is the single most valuable weapon they have offensively Monday night.
And when Dabo Swinney made a big deal out of that, and he's not really about the individual award thing, he really is the ultimate team guy.
Yeah.
But when he made that perfectly clear that some folks have just sound asleep on number 9, that has fueled him. I still go back, though, to that Alabama.
I voted him third for the Heisman Trophy because I still think he's arguably – I mean, look at this. Seriously. He's top 20 in three of the biggest analytical stats you look at. Mm-hmm. By the way, the 8.2 number, you're going to see something this weekend that's phenomenal when it comes to that figure.
And I go back to what Tom Luganville just told us in the last 45 minutes. Tackling in space in this game will be critical, and it is no more so than that dude right there.
Yeah.
He's got another gear, too, because when you miss him the first time, you do not catch him.
Yeah. The other thing about the yards per rush, 71 running backs had more carries than Travis Etienne this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember now, Clemson, because of who they are and being as surgical as they are in destroying people,
didn't play third.
Didn't see the fourth quarter.
That's right.
So, I mean, look, he is the forgotten player in all of this. I mean, it's remarkable what he's done from a statistical standpoint as a player.
And he's going home to Louisiana.
Ooh. So, Wes, was that an over or an under?
On Travis Etienne?
Yeah.
I'll take over. I'll take an over on that. I think he can steal the show Monday night. I mean, to the point of, like, dominant players running the ball in title games, you can take Super Bowls or whatever. I mean, look, this guy has done enough in his college career to write the finish. And people are forgetting about it, in all honesty.
I'm with you. Totally agree. Both going over on that one.
Yeah. You want to go to break here, boys?
Oh, yeah.
We got more, apparently?
We do.
Loading up, aren't we?
The boys said the fun ones are coming up, though.
The fun ones?
The fun ones. X and O.
What about we got graphics of the fun ones, too?
I have no idea. I'm assuming so.
Boys have put some scoreless quarter graphic.
The boys have put some serious work in the graphics.
Labor
on over and under.
Intensive things have gone on in this segment.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
By the way, we're going to run two of the CFB 150s that we showed some yesterday. We're going to run, I think we got Ryan McGee, Joe Tessitore to show you before we get out of here, too.
Cool.
All right. Josh Macri on the left, Drew Brooks on the right. These are the aforementioned. They run this show. Who are we kidding, right, Pac? These guys.
Well, it's Chester Fuller, then Dr. Brooks, and really Chrissy runs the show.
Chrissy, throw a hand in there so everybody knows that you're the brains behind the operation. By the way, there we go. Yeah. That's she's fabulous. All right, now Macri on the left, graduate of the football power known as Syracuse, continues our move down the lines of entertainment. Go ahead.
All right. Broadcast-wise, how many times will the word Tigers be said during the first quarter?
I want it known. I have been following Chris Fowler on Instagram this week for some of his Instagram videos of his broadcast preparation. 3.5 in the first quarter, absolutely he will smash that.
Well, how can you not?
3.5, that's the easiest bet in America there.
You got Clemson Tigers, you got LSU Tigers.
Right.
I mean, it's going to...
Will he avoid saying Tigers to avoid confusion, though?
No, he can't because you can... It's television. You know which Tigers it is.
Yeah, I think it's...
That radio, number. Different story. TV,
right.
Not.
Right.
He can say... He will mash that number. That's the easiest bet in America right there. Just saying.
Well, when you get down to Harrah's there at the casino.
I don't think they have a book there, Coach.
Why don't you go over there and check that out?
No, I'm good. I just know how this works. And
bring you over there for the buffet and just let them
watch. Been watching the Instagram videos from Fowler this week on his prep.
I've missed that.
Trying to pick up a few things.
You guys are so confident, I'm taking the under.
All right, I've not spent a whole lot of time on the gram this week. I haven't gotten quite around.
By the time the hat takes some tours to New Orleans this week, doesn't it?
That's not my thing, man. Okay. Not my thing. Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to be verified on Instagram, I heard, by the weekend.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you're going to be verified. They're going to verify your account. You're going to get a check mark on IG. Just doing it for the gram, man.
That's already on there.
Oh, you're already verified on Instagram?
You already told me that. You told me that a month ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe we're getting your Twitter verified.
You know what? It just goes to shit. See, you got to pay attention, Wes.
Every once in a while. All right. What's next?
All right. If you have such an insight.
Oh, you are verified. Look at that.
Flourish.
Wait a minute. I just told you that.
Yeah. We got to get you some more followers, though.
I don't even care.
You haven't done anything in months on the ground.
Wait a minute. Did I not just say to you?
Yeah.
I haven't spent any time on it.
We got to fix that.
No, we're not. I got stuff to do. I'll let you do that. In fact, you can take over the account. How about that?
I don't want to take over your account.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Let's go to the next one before somebody gets hurt.
All right, if you have so much insight into how Mr. Fowler is preparing, look at him go.
Look at this. Captain Selfie over here. Mr. Selfie. Unbelievable.
Look at him go.
I got it done. All right, go ahead.
Will home field advantage be said during the broadcast?
Yes. Yes.
That is another layup.
That's a lock.
Golly.
Absolute lock.
What in the world, huh?
Man, the way Vegas is going on some of these, they're
going to be broke.
Yeah, they're going to be in deep trouble by Tuesday of next week.
Yeah.
Of course home field advantage is going to be mentioned.
Sure it is. So there you go. That's easy. Will home field advantage be said? Oh, is that really possible?
Anything is possible.
Okay. Yeah, that's a layup.
All right.
Last one. All right.
Will the second most famous Clemson alumni, William Refrigerator Perry, be shown during the broadcast?
No. Will not be.
Video of the fridge? 1980? 81 Orange Bowl? Come on.
I say no.
I think he makes it.
You know,
we're talking about in the game, right?
During the game.
Yeah, I'm going to go, yeah. Somehow or another, fridge makes an appearance. Video from the Orange Bowl game. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to say no.
Better question would be, would Cliff Austin's touchdown run against Nebraska be shown?
Well, there's where I was going to go. You know, Perry Tuttle making a catch, Homer Jordan with the throw.
Cliff Austin.
You know, that may get some love. I don't know if fridge gets it. Don't know.
Will Mark Packer be shown during the broadcast?
No. Mark Packer's not making the broadcast.
No. Got a better chance of me being on my Instagram account than that happening.
All right, let's get
Will Herschel Walker be revealed as the greatest ACC player of all time?
Well, wait a minute. According to our man Tony in New York, who called in earlier today, no, that's not
the best. Was when you said the best was when you said, you know, that Herschel didn't play for an ACC school, and you just went, oh, yeah, okay.
That was a comeback.
That was it.
A comeback. We appreciate him watching, though. It's great, but I mean, that didn't help us at all, at all. Or maybe that famous Georgia Tech running back, Bo Jackson.
By the way, when they show, I tell you another bet, when they reveal Bo Jackson as one of the 25 greatest players in college football history, I guarantee you the video will be his 60-some-odd-yard touchdown run at Grant Field down in front of the east side.
Well, he had a bunch of them.
Oh, he lit up Georgia Tech.
He had a bunch of them.
All right, a couple of these CFP 150 vignettes. They've been awesome, by the way. And we're going to start with our man, Ryan McGee.
It was North Carolina at Virginia, 1983. I had just turned 13 years old. My father was an ACC referee, and he had got me a sideline pass. I have my brand new camera that Santa Claus had brought me the year before, and I'm snapping pictures. I am on the goal line for what ended up being the game-winning touchdown. A guy named Barry Word, running back, dove over the pylon for Virginia, won the football game. I got a fantastic picture of it. In the background of that picture, you see a very large man in his white University of North Carolina jersey. What I don't realize is he's about to wipe me out. It's a total yard sale. Camera equipment everywhere. My shirt's ripped. Everybody's worried about me. The doctor on the sideline, kid, are you okay? And all I can think is, this is the greatest job in the history of the world. I have to figure out how to do this for a living. But I do need some ice for my shoulders.
By the way, the guy that wiped him out, I think, was William Fuller.
Big man. Great player.
Yep. I think it was William Fuller. That's great. All right. Next is Kirk Herbstreit.
Herbie.
Yeah.
You ever signed a football over?
Yeah. Here we go. Kirk Herbstreit.
Game Day's become a different show from when I started on it in 1996. There might have been 100 people around the set. Now there could be up to 15 or 20,000. We want all that craziness. We just don't want to be in danger. But there was one time before we had really good security, we were down at the Orange Bowl. Lee Corso had been making some comments the way he tends to do, how Miami wasn't any good. He's getting booed, which is normal. And now we got to get from the set to our car. I don't know, 75, 80-yard walk. They tried to, like, build a human wall to let us try to get through. People were, like, very close and yelling and cussing. And he was right behind me, and I'm pulling him, and it was crazy. And somebody touched him, and he turned around, and he's like, which one are you, son of a And I was just like, oh, my God. I mean, he's 75 years old, and someone, he's trying to, like, take somebody on.
Now that's entertainment. I don't care who you are. That's entertainment.
Oh, me.
Corso. You know what, though? That, watching that and just seeing the backdrop of the old Orange Bowl, I mean, it saddens me. It really does. It saddens me that that structure is no longer there. And what's there in its place makes it even worse. Terrible Marlins baseball.
You obviously never broadcast
from the top
of the Orange Bowl roof. In a plastic box with a window unit air conditioner.
It's perfect. Why are you complaining?
It's the only place I've ever done a game in shorts.
What? And why are you complaining?
Because it was all 400,000 degrees.
I told you about us smuggling in. We rented a van, took all the seats out, a bunch of buddies down here in South Florida, back in the good old days of the 80s.
Yeah.
And we loaded up full of cold beverages.
Yeah.
We were bouncing around. We parked in front of some guy's house for $20, hoping the car, the van was still going to be there. And the Budweiser Clydesdales came down the street. I told you this story, didn't I? And we're drinking Budweisers and like, man, we were drinking way too much. I swear to God, the Clydesdales are coming down the street. And they were. and we're petting the Clydesdales. And again, I wasn't a big fan of horses to begin with. Might be one of the reasons why. And so we smuggled in a bunch of beer at the game. And they sold beer at the game. And we're in the upper deck corner thinking, we got Budweiser. Guys coming out, hey, Bears, $4, $3. I love the Orange Bowl, man. One of my all-time favorite.
Never broadcast from the boy in the plastic bubble box.
That's all right, man. That place, and I know Miami Hurricane fans watching this know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
they lost part of their soul.
Sure.
When that place got torn down.
Absolutely.
And the new Hard Rock is cool, but man, it was nothing like that old Orange Bowl, man. It just dripped with football. You walked in that joint, and you could hear the creaking.
You could hear Kurt Gowdy and Joe Namath and Earl Morrill playing Super Bowl III.
Such great games. Love that.
Our last CFB 150 is the voice of Monday Night Football and BC alum Joe Tessitore.
My favorite moment as a college football passionate fan was November of 1993. I had no money. I had just started my career. I was working in local TV in Texas. I got $225 together to buy a plane ticket to go to Chicago to get myself to South Bend to watch Boston College upset number one Notre Dame and deny them the national championship. But the best part of all is who caught the pass that set up the miracle field goal. It was my former college roommate, Ivan Boyd.
Boston College has defeated number one Notre Dame.
And storming the field to hug him and rip up that famed turf, that was the greatest feeling and the greatest celebration I could ever have as a fan.
Wow. Pretty good.
Wow. Joe, property damage tested to it. Come back to South Bend. You have to go ahead and repair that, Joe.
Yeah.
Get out there.
I think John is a punter on the punter kicker for the BC team.
We've all got stories like that.
Oh, boy.
We've all got some of those.
Yep.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Final segment of the week. And like you said, Wes, it's been a busy news week. Kind of crazy games, upsets, women's side, men's side.
Yeah.
Newsworthy from a soccer world. Obviously, the game Monday night, which we've talked about, and we will talk about that more Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Right.
And hard to believe, man, the longest college football season ever will come to a complete shutdown Monday night. Yep. Hard to believe.
Let's get you caught up on what we can expect, the weekend menu, if you will. And, of course, every Friday, the weekend menu brought to you by
Bojangles.
That's exactly right. Tomorrow we got a basketball doubleheader on ACC Network. Dan Bonner and I will be at Chestnut Hill for Georgia Tech and Boston College at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, Dave O'Brien, Jordan Cornett, and the coveted invite will be at Cameron for Wake and Duke. And then you see ACCN. Look at the three women's games get you cranked up on Sunday. Syracuse at Miami, and then Virginia BC with Sam Ravitch and Chelsea Shine. And then NC State at Notre Dame, Jen Hildreth, LaChina Robinson will be there as well. And then Mike Monaco and Malcolm Huckabee will be at Coral Gables on Sunday night for Pittsburgh and Miami. So we got a lot to go for you, in addition to Louisville, Notre Dame, Syracuse, Virginia, also on the ESPN family of networks on the men's card tomorrow. So that's a look at the Bojangles weekend menu. Pointed out by the boys, today is an anniversary. You ready?
Yep.
On this day in 2003,
well aware of this one,
the National Basketball Association announces that Charlotte has been awarded an NBA expansion franchise for a second time. The team would be known as your Charlotte Bobcats.
Yep. And they were spectacular. God, were they bad. Thanks. Thanks, NBA. Can't wait to go watch more bad basketball. But we got them. Michael Jordan's now paid for them, and the Hornets are back. I remember that, 2003.
So you've seen expansion come to this market twice in the NBA.
I have.
Yeah.
The original Hornets were cool. People were digging the original Hornets.
Grandmama, Lonzo.
It was happening. Listen, you got a ticket to go watch them play in front of 22,000. You got yourself something.
Yep.
By the time we got round two with the Bobcats, man, nobody cared. Nobody cared.
Got a new building, though.
Well, I mean, you know what? The taxpayers voted it down.
Yeah. Still got a new building.
Still got a new building.
So there.
And bad basketball. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Can we check real quick on an updated guest list for Monday with Dr. Brooks and Josh Macri? Can we do that? Is it possible that you guys can update us on what is getting ready to be a very full Monday show on this program?
Yeah, we're confirmed to have Marty and McGee at 8:15 Central Time, 9:15 Eastern, followed by Clemson President Jim Clements, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. To be determined on time, but we will have EJ Manuel and Coach Mark Richt on the show as well.
I like that.
Exchange
Don
text.
Munson and Tim Beret were also efforting. Just confirmed, actually, according to Dr. Brooks. This just in. When news breaks, we break it.
That's exactly right.
Exchanged messages via text last night with the president.
Oh, we're texting the president now?
Well, yeah, actually, he texted me.
Is that right?
Yeah, that would be true.
And you and the president now starting to build that bridge?
Well, you know, we've always gotten along. That's never been an issue. I told you before, he's done an incredible job.
Yes, he has.
I mean, unbelievable job.
But we look forward to maybe tackling some of the issues that you're dealing with.
Yes.
And we're dealing with, maybe.
Well, I mean, he's going to be a great guest, number one.
Sure.
Because he's a fun-loving dude.
That's right.
He totally gets it.
Right.
So he'll be great on the show. I have no doubt about that. But we'll get in all kinds of stuff with him. Chester, what's up?
Chester's concerned about you talking to the president.
No. Chester's good.
All right. We're going to be live from Jack's Brewery in New Orleans Monday and Tuesday, 7 to 10 Eastern time. That sounds like a wonderful show on Monday if we don't screw it up.
We won't. But we'll be good.
I'm excited to have Marty and McGee with us.
Anytime we're live from a brewery, you know we'll be good.
Yeah. Marty and McGee, that's right in our lane, isn't it?
No doubt.
Yeah.
They will fit right in with us and vice versa. I have no idea. Of course, McGee's been in here before.
Yeah, came in dressed as Ed Hardin.
Right. And we've not had Marty present in person, but he's a regular on the afternoon radio show, so have no issues at all.
Yeah, we're going to be good there. That'll be fun. We'll talk about the game and talk about the day that Barry Ward ran over the top of Ryan. That'll be good.
Good news, by the way, for the Clemson Tigers last night.
Huh.
A good omen.
Okay.
You want to know what it is?
Sure.
LSU received headphones from Beats headphones from
saw that.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
And a congratulatory, motivational message.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great sign for Clemson. Why, you ask? If we watch this show, it wasn't that long ago, LeBron James did exactly the same thing for the Ohio State University Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still OH and 4.
That's right, yeah.
So LSU, congrats. You got OBJ hooking you guys up with some cool beats.
Yep.
That is good news for Clemson football.
By the way, Odell Beckham Jr.'s mom, former LSU track star Heather Van Norman, used to be an assistant track coach at Georgia Tech, and little Odell Beckham Jr. used to run down the halls of the Edge Athletic Center.
How about that?
About 6 years old. Little did we know what that would ultimately be.
Turned out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah. LSU playing in the national championship game at the Superdome. The last time they did this, they got beat by Alabama.
21-0.
Right. The next morning, in a meeting of conference commissioners, Jim Delaney, who just recently announced his retirement as the commissioner of the Big Ten, and the late Mike Slive sat around a table with John Swofford and others and formulated the model for what we now have as the college football playoff. I want to tell you now, a meeting that was quite a bridge cross in college football history. Pack. That meeting right there started what ultimately became the college football playoff. And Jim Delaney, who retires this year, graduate of the University of North Carolina, former basketball player for Coach Smith, who I understand is going to retire in the state of North Carolina. He's got a house at Haw River.
Mm.
And Jim Delaney has done a marvelous job at the Big Ten. There's no Fantastic. Question about that. But he is a major, major influence. He and the late Mike Slive on the development of the college football playoff to get out of the BCS and get into the college football playoff.
And that was a smart move because I think at that point in time in college football lore, America had had enough mm-hmm. with the whole, hey, we'll get this game again, and it was a dog.
Yep.
LSU had a chance to kind of make history that night, undefeated,
yep.
and just rolled into the Superdome with that home field advantage and really laid a serious egg. Nick Saban out-coached Les Miles, and the rest was history.
Thanks to Drew, Josh, Chrissy, everybody involved in helping us get Packer and Durham off the runway today. Looking forward to being in New Orleans on Monday. If you miss any of the show, sit tight. You can watch it on the replay here on ACC Network, and as always, download the podcast. Thanks to everybody listening on SiriusXM ACC 371 as well.
Yep, going to be a busy weekend, a lot of moving and shaking and all that good stuff, but we got the media days covered for you beginning tomorrow as well. So we get that one all over you, but should be an awesome game Monday night. Can't wait to talk about it.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.